Hello. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and I am wishing you the best as always. And today's show is going to be a call-in show where we're going to take your opinions. We're going to start off with focusing on vaccinations, and you can give us a call about your feelings about vaccinations at 888-874-4888. But first I'd like to give you a little bit of a background. You know that we do many radio shows here at Natural Alternatives. We do this show, The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, with myself and Dr. Eugene Zamperone. We do a show that started in the 1980s called Natural Alternatives, and that's on 90.1 FM, which is a wonderful station out of Stony Brook University. And then we do one on WHPC called Herbally Yours. That one has a real focus on herbal medicine. And, of course, all of these things are available free to you as podcasts. And you can get in touch at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse, for more information. We're so happy to be a part of this radio station, Progressive Radio Station, because it is the most listened to online broadcast in the world, in the progressive world. So we are so happy to be a part of it. And they have some really top-notch people doing shows on here, one of which I'll be talking about in a little while today, who is a real expert on vaccination. And he's also both an attorney and a medical doctor. So this is Dr. Meir Eisenstein, who has a show right here on Progressive Radio Network. I'd like to tell you some of the on-ground availability that we have, lectures that we're giving. I probably have 25 or more lectures going on in Florida over the next few weeks, and it will be at Whole Foods in Boca Raton, Toonies in Coral Springs, Toonies in West Palm Beach. We have one for the council, the Health Council of North Broward County, and that's going to be in Jupiter. We have some in Miami at the Science Museum. So all over the place, if you happen to be in the Florida area or you have a friend who is, just go to naturalnurse.com under schedules, and there's times and locations for all of those lectures. We'd love to see you there. Now, also, we have our Jamaica trip, and our Jamaica trip is a fabulous adventure that has been going on now, I guess it's about 26 years. And what we do is we live with shamanic bush doctors for a week in a very remote and safe, by the way, area of Jamaica along the north coast, which is called St. Mary's Parish. And we also integrate with top-level botanical pharmacology experts, pharmacists, in fact, who have studied the active constituents of herbal medicine and how they actually work on a cellular level. And that is something that we teach as well. So we teach that both on ground and also online. And after you take five courses with Dr. Zamperone and or myself through Natural Alternatives, you will be able to get a certification in whatever the study focus is that you are involved in. So might be botanical medicine. It might be wildcrafting. Wildcrafting means that you go outside and actually gather herbs and make them into medicine. So you have to learn species identification, poisonous lookalikes, extraction technologies, how to preserve the herbs once you get them, when to pick. Every single plant is different. The part of the plant that you want to use, every single plant is different. So that would be one course. Another course would be how to use herbal medicines and nutritional supplements for specific health conditions. So what happens if you have some kind of serious illness? What happens if you have a cold or flu? And that's where we're going to start today, because our focus is a flu shot. So if you're interested in how to join us on any of our on-ground classes or participating with an Echo Tour for Cures to Jamaica, that's time to sign up for that one right now, because we're actually involved in having the hotel facility booked and getting the plane reservations, because that leaves on March 15th. It's in March in every year because we go during school break, because many botanical studies students and just the general population, many people are off that week, so they do come with us. So let's get to our topic today of flus and colds. We have a very big chapter on this in our book called The Natural Medicine Chest. As most of you know, Dr. Zamperone and I have written many books, including The Natural Medicine Chest, Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Guide, the Natural Guide to Great Sex, Cycles of Life, Herbs for Women, a whole variety of books. And we also have lots of articles on the blog at naturalnurse.com. All the articles, all the radio shows, all the podcasts, and all the web camera casts are, of course, free for you to peruse and learn. So we love to have you on board with that. So what do you do to prepare for a cold or flu? And today's show is going to be open to calls, so you can call in with what you do at 888-874-4888. And we are going to focus on one of the things that people choose to do that they feel protects them from getting a flu is getting a flu shot. Now, a flu shot is an extremely controversial issue. Although you would not think there's any controversy involved with it if you look at the mainstream, and I'll say propaganda, where they are pushing the flu shots at an unbelievable rate. Now, I do want to tell you a little background. We love to bring you natural alternatives, and we're totally open to have anyone call in who has a differing opinion from what we have, and in fact, we welcome that. But I do need to tell you, this is not strictly unbiased. And why I say that is because my bias is natural. That's just clear. I don't want anyone to think that I am going to give both sides of the story here. So if you have a different viewpoint than I'm sharing, please feel free to call in with it. I'll start by saying my own children, who are now 38 and 35, never had a flu shot, okay? Never had a flu shot. So that's very, very important to know, because we're talking about 40 years ago when I, as a young nurse, I became a nurse in 1973, and that's when I started deciding to really read all the information about all these vaccinations that were being given. I don't even think the flu shot was around then, but just all those vaccinations that they were starting to give to children. And children had lived throughout history without getting all these vaccinations. So I started saying, well, are all these vaccinations really necessary for my babies? Who at the time were babies, who are now 38 and 35, would they really bring them into a higher state of health? Would these vaccinations actually help to support their immune system in terms of better function? What was in these vaccinations besides the attenuated virus? What about the fact that whatever virus was in there may or may not be something in terms of the flu shot that would be around that year infecting people? In terms of the other vaccinations, of course, like hepatitis A and B, like Gardasil, which is for cervical cancer, the fact that they are pushing that now on newborns, to me, is absolutely atrocious, especially when we dig deep and look at the risk-benefit ratio. As a healthcare professional, that is my main interest. My main interest is, what is the risk-benefit ratio of a particular therapy? So we'd love to see what you found out when you've looked into that, or share in any kind of question you'd like on this topic. And you can call us today on our call line at 888 1-800-874-4888. But I do want to talk about some very recent studies that have to do with the flu shot. So first of all, of course, I guess by now you figured out that I am not a big proponent of vaccinations. I also, just so you know, am not totally against all vaccinations all the time. For example, when friends of mine are going to travel to very remote areas of other countries, such as India and other places that they may want to go, Sri Lanka, I find that getting some vaccination against known diseases that are epidemic in those areas may, in fact, be advisable when we review the risk-benefit ratio. That is how all medicine should be applied. We want to have the highest level of benefit with the lowest level of risk. And that can change depending on the illness that you're looking at. So let's look at the flu. Well, very interesting that in February 2013, that was just, you know, short time ago, there was several articles in the Clinical Infectious Disease Journal. Now, one of the things I always do in my research is I don't look everything up in the New Age Journal, and I don't look everything up in, you know, Let's All Love Natural Medicine Journal, which I do look as well. But in order to get the scientific data, I am constantly researching the archives of PubMed. And you may know that, of course, you can go to PubMed as well. Okay, you can always go to PubMed to get information. And we're going to talk about this article, which was in this journal. It's called Influenza Effectiveness in the Community and in the Household in the Clinical Infectious Disease Journal, February 14th, Valentine's Day, and my anniversary, in fact, 2013. So we do have a caller, and then we'll discuss this article in detail. Pauline from Queens, welcome to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Hi. I have a suspicion because a friend's daughter had, you know, she was like in her, I guess, 30s. She just had her baby, but I'd heard the story that she lost the baby. It was in, like, as the delivery, the baby was delivered dead. And I never thought anything of it until I heard a story about how some of these people were being told that they should get the flu shot. I have not spoken to this mother at this point. It's probably not a good idea for me to bring that up because she's probably grieving. But then I have another friend's kid who just had the baby, and I found that that person as well took, she definitely, this one took the flu shot, and there was something that currently as the baby was born, of course, thank goodness this one didn't get born, you know, something didn't happen to the baby, but the baby has health issues at the moment as well as the mother. I really don't know the details, but I was telling my girlfriend who we were both concerned about the other mother because when she heard that that young lady who was about the same age as her daughter just lost her child, like right while just giving birth at that moment, she was really scared praying for her child because she knew, she did not even know about this controversy about the flu shot. And I shared that with her, and I said that I thought that that other mother who lost that child probably, if she had taken, you know, the flu shot, might have been the reason that child was born dead. So,
well, you know, there's, of course, we can't definitely ever know for sure because it's not like everybody whose child is stillborn just took the flu shot.
Right.
So it's very hard to make that association.
Right.
However, I would not be at all surprised, and there's actually a little video on a fabulous website that I think is one of the best resources for this topic, and it's really by Barbara Lowe Fisher, who does so much work and a great job on investigating it. It's called the National Vaccine Information Center. And she actually has a new article on there looking at this exact question, is getting the flu shot safe during pregnancy? And there is quite a bit of data that would make it very worrisome. I would say a much, much better choice is to use garlic and echinacea and Sambucus. Sambucus is elderberry. As a matter of fact, we'll be talking throughout the show today. What else can you do besides get vaccinations in order to get the best risk-benefit ratio in terms of protecting yourself from the flu? So,
can I ask you one question? If
sure.
there's any way that if this person who just gave birth has having like issues, I believe she said that her child's having issues as well as the mother. Is there any way to detox the body at this point now that she's done it? You know, she's a fret. I mean, if she really read the articles, I bet you she'd be wanting to get that out of her system as fast as possible.
Okay, well, I'll tell you something that I have used for many, many years for offsetting the negative side effects of vaccinations. If someone either already had them or now, of course, hopefully we'll have time to get into the legal ramifications. For instance, yeah. there are many, many nurses, and of course I'm the natural nurse and I'm a nurse, and other health professionals throughout the country right now are really, really struggling with this issue because of the legal mandates of your choice is keep your job or get vaccinated. That is also horrendous.
As well as so go to school or get vaccinated. You're not even allowed. Now the old mayor had whatever the health department now mandate that the kids who want to go into preschool or any kind of school that's public, they're going to have to do flu shots. No?
Flu shots and a full line of vaccinations. You're so right. And that's a horrendous public health question and personal freedom question, which is, you know, another whole issue. But getting back to what I tell people to do to protect themselves, if they are forced, let's say someone is a single mother and she has a good job as a nurse and it's take the flu shot or lose your job, and that's just not an option in her life, and she's being forced into it, and she can't afford to, you know, hire an attorney to fight this horrible legislation at the moment, okay? What I would say is to use a particular homeopathic, which is called Thuja. That's T-H-U-J-A, Thuja. And that is actually made from a red cedar tree. The red cedar tree is also known as Thuja occidentalis, and it's something that really, really can help in terms of offsetting the negative effects of vaccinations. So that is what I would recommend that somebody do. And you want to have a full homeopathic kit at home at all times because there's so much self-care that you can do with homeopathy. So that's what I would say to do. If someone has been vaccinated, or better yet, if they know they're going to have to be vaccinated, and this is for adults, this is for infants. For instance, if people are getting social services and they have a young baby, even before they're going to any kind of school, they will not be allowed to get any social services without the child showing the vaccination record. This is horrendous in terms of personal choice, from my point of view. Of course, everything here is from my point of view. So that is a very, very big problem. So Thuja, that's T-H-U-J-A, Thuja occidentalis, you get it in a homeopathic preparation. Another homeopathic, since we're on that topic, that you want to have available is something called oxalococcinum. Don't ask me to spell it because you'll all be rushing for your pens while we're on air. So you just need to know it's called oxy, O-C-C-I, and it's actually oxalococcinum. Go into any health food store, and amazingly enough, go into any drug store these days, and you will be able to purchase it. It's a little tiny white homeopathic.
As a matter of fact. It's very good.
It's very good. And I have to say, as a healthcare professional, and also I am a clinical instructor in a medical school, I always bring that with me because if I see especially residents who are under tremendous amount of stress, tremendous amount of stress doing their residency in a hospital, and they're always catching something. Here they are with ill people all the time, and of course they have this ridiculous, inhumane schedule of working 12 hours a day and having to complete coursework. So those are some of the things that run your system down, not the lack of a flu shot. And then also, when they get the flu shot, so many people find that they never got the flu before until they get the flu shot.
Right.
And then they become deadly ill with the flu. So all of these things, you know, must be considered. The whole idea is that you want to be educated and make a decision, not be legally railroaded into doing something that not only common sense, but good science says is actually not such a good idea.
I took that amoxicillin while I got the flu, but
hello?
Myself. So anyways, okay. I thank you so much for all that information.
Thank you, too. And we're going to go to a break right now. We're going to listen to one of our natural medicine chefs, and you can always reach us at naturalnurse.com, or also you can reach us at Facebook, The Natural Nurse. When we come back, we will continue our discussion about the flu shot. What do you think? We'll talk about the science. We'll talk about the risk-benefit ratio. We'll talk about how you can prepare yourself and your family the natural alternatives way. And now coming up with The Natural Medicine Chest.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll talk about high blood pressure or hypertension.
Hypertension or high blood pressure is a disease of the Western world and a product of modern civilization. Cultures that continue to adhere to an indigenous lifestyle, which includes low stress levels, a non-refined whole foods diet, as well as vigorous exercise, experience virtually no episodes of essential hypertension. It is very interesting to note that when individuals from these societies emigrate to Western countries and adopt Western habits, they too fall prey to hypertension. Naturopathic treatment of hypertension has not changed essentially in the last century. The mainstay of the treatment still relies on diet, exercise, stress reduction, lifestyle modification, with secondary support from other modalities such as hypotensive phytotherapy or herbal medicine, hydrotherapy, which is the therapeutic use of water, clinical nutrition, as well as homeopathy. We'll focus on phytotherapy in this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest.
Let's talk about Taraxacum officinalis. This is an unpopular nuisance to many homeowners trying to build that perfect lawn. However, this common weed, the dandelion, is a powerful yet safe botanical medicine for the treatment of hypertension. In a Romania study in 1974, the common dandelion was found to be as potent a diuretic as a commonly used drug called Lasix. Dandelion, however, due to its rich levels of potassium, acted against potassium ion depletion, a dangerous condition known as hypokalemia, seen as a side effect of many antihypertensive drugs which promote diuresis. The leaf of the dandelion was a more effective medicine than the root, although the root is utilized by naturopathic physicians and has a powerful liver-specific medicinal quality.
Crataegus oxycantha, also known in the vernacular as hawthorn, is a common tree in the family Rosaceae, or the rose family. Extracts of the plant in the Western literature date back far beyond the Middle Ages. Even the Chinese were privy to its usage, especially as a digestive tonic. The therapeutic principles are found in extracts from the leaves, berry-like fruits, as well as the flowers. In Europe, Crataegus is well respected for its effects at lowering blood pressure, blood lipids, reducing angina attacks, and preventing and perhaps reversing atherosclerotic deposition in arterial walls. This plant has demonstrated a remarkable safety record, but because of its powerful effects, it should not be used with certain cardiac or hypotensive drugs and should be used by a qualified practitioner of alternative medicine.
Other herbs are also helpful for hypertension, such as garlic, olive and olive oil, and ginkgo biloba.
So if the pressures of life are making your blood boil, don't forget about these herbal medicines the next time you reach into the natural medicine chest.
Joining us once again right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And today we're having a discussion about, well, I'll say the pros and cons of getting a flu shot, but I have to tell you that I'm not saying never in any situation, but I would say overall, when I review the science on the risk-benefit ratio to getting a flu shot, I am voting to not have it. For instance, I never had one. My children, who I mentioned earlier, are close to 40 years old, never had one. My parents, who are extremely, God bless them, healthy individuals, in their 80s, have never had one. And all of my patients have usually chosen not to have one. That's, of course, up to them, because the thing I stand for more than being against vaccinations is having personal choice about vaccinations. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that topic. Today's show is a call-in show, and we're welcoming you to call in at 888-874-4888. Now, what are some of the things that are in these flu shots? Some of you may know some of the toxic chemicals that are in. In fact, they're in many medications, by the way, not only flu shots. But if we're looking at flu shots in particular, you may want to at least be aware of some of these things that are in there. For instance, the H1N1 flu shot contains beta propylactone, which is a known carcinogen. It contains neomycin sulfate, which is an immunotoxin. Hey, I thought we're trying to build up our immune system. It has polymyxin B, which is a neurotoxin. It has potassium chloride, which is a neurotoxin. It has sodium chlorate, which is a carcinogen and an immunotoxin. It has thimerosal, which is from mercury, which is known to be a neurotoxin. And vaccines are linked to a huge range of negative side effects, including autism, Guillain-Barré syndrome, narcolepsy, paralysis, dystonia, which means you just get weak and fall all over the place, long-term rheumatoid arthritis. I cannot tell you how many senior citizens that I work with go to get the flu shot. They never had joint aches and pains before. They come down with a really severe case of rheumatoid arthritis that just seems to never go away. You know, they may have been on the brink of having an autoimmune disease, and then that flu shot threw them over the brink. There are studies linking it to cases of multiple sclerosis, lupus, cancer, and of course, death. And you should know that the H1N1 vaccine is banned in many, many countries around the world, and that the people who developed it have actually decided that they don't want to get it. So what is that about? And yet they are forcing so many people to get these vaccinations. I don't exactly understand it. The other thing is, as we said, the legal considerations. The legal considerations are that you are being forced to get these vaccinations in many situations where you do not have a choice, even if you read the various evidence and you say, you know what, I'll take my chance getting the flu. And this is where the study I mentioned earlier comes in, because truly, what is the effectiveness when we're looking at the risk-benefit ratio? We're going to look at the benefit. What is the benefit of getting the flu shot? Well, what we found is that in that study that I mentioned earlier, and I'll remind you again, so if you want to look it up yourself, and I suggest you do look it up yourself, it was actually a rather current study, and it was in a mainstream medical journal, which is what I like to look at in terms of my references. And this one is called Influenza Effectiveness in the Community and the Household. And it was written in Clinical Infectious Disease Journal, February 14, 2013. And they found that those who were vaccinated and those who were not vaccinated had similar influenza infection risks, especially if they were vaccinated 2 years in a row. That's another thing that the data on vaccines is finding, that once people get a vaccine a second time, it seems to give them less protection than it did the first time. For instance, in this particular study, Clinical Infectious Diseases, they published noting the failure of the flu vaccine in people vaccinated the previous year. They actually followed 328 households with 1,441 individuals who were vaccinated, and this is fairly recent data from 2010 to 2011, and they were vaccinated for that flu season. And 866 of the participants got the flu shot before the flu season started. And what happened was that when the people who were not vaccinated previously got the flu shot, they got about 62% effectiveness. That means they didn't get the flu that year. But in people who got a flu shot for the second time, only 45% of them did not get the flu that year. But the most interesting thing is that those who got the shot and those who never got a vaccination had basically the same rate of flu. So this is not the first study questioning vaccine effectiveness based on repeated annual influenza vaccinations. And I'll just throw out that phone number again. We'd love to hear from you if you'd like to chime in, your thoughts and feelings. And if you are for vaccinations and you get the vaccination every year and it works really well for you and you're really happy with it, we'd like to hear from you. And if you have a viewpoint, you know, closer to the one that I have about being more cautious and prudent with the use of these vaccines, we'd love to hear from you too. And the call-in number is 888-874-4888. And when we look at other research studies, we find, and, you know, actually in that same clinical journal, there's another study called Influenza Vaccine. Is the glass half full or half empty? These are where physicians have actually been reading what they call troubling findings. And in an editorial, Dr. John Trenor and Peter Svilagi wrote a response to the findings about the different effectiveness of flu shot. And he says, as we are currently struggling through one of the most vigorous influenza seasons in recent memory, the apparent failure of influenza vaccines under optimum conditions seen in this study is indeed troubling. And I would say it's especially troubling if not only is there not great data upholding the effectiveness, but there is a lot of data about the possible toxic effects of vaccination. So between those two things, you know, it's really something that I would suggest if you are choosing to vaccinate yourself and your family, and we're talking about the flu shot here, but a lot of the same information really relates to many, many other vaccinations, all of which have that toxic soup that I read earlier. Some of the vaccines, they're actually taking out the mercury. Some of them, they're taking out the mercury now because people shouted out about it enough to where they were not wanting it to interfere with their business. Of course, business is everything. And certainly the pharmaceutical industry loves pushing vaccinations. Have you at all noticed that you can get your flu shot online at the grocery store just about? I mean, they actually have tables set up at every grocery store, at every pharmacy you can walk in and get it. They're promoting it big time. Well, one of the reasons for that is it is a huge moneymaker for the pharmaceutical industry. And one of the reasons is that they have instituted legal information that indemnifies the pharmaceutical industry. Another thing that has been used, a tact that has been used, is to, when they make a batch of these vaccines, they only send a certain amount to every area in the country. And that little rule was set up after a batch arrived in one location, and I believe it was Texas, but I don't have that data in front of me. This is several years ago, because I've been working against this onslaught of vaccination laws for so many years. And a very large percentage of children in the community who got that particular batch of vaccinations had very severe reactions, and there were a couple of immediate deaths following the vaccination. So it was able to be tracked back to a specific batch and then tracked back to the pharmaceutical company, who was then sued for millions of dollars and did have to pay because a cause-effect relationship was clearly indicated by on this batch of vaccination. So they then instituted a rule to where any batch of vaccinations, instead of all being sent to one geographic locality, is broken up and sent small batches at a time all over the country. Therefore, if some individuals have a bad reaction to it, it's not as easy to track that it was all caused by this one batch, because it's spread out all over the country. So, you know, it's just to make them less liable, less possibly liable. Just amazing what goes on in the back workings of the pharmaceutical industry. Also, the fact that vaccination responses have been indemnified, which means that, God forbid, if you get this bad reaction, there is a limit on how much money you can get back from the pharmaceutical industry because of it. So, you know, these are all things that you may want to look at and question before you run out and get a vaccination. There was a second study, and this one's a little older. It was done in 2009 and looked at an association between previous vaccinations and H1N1 illness in the military population, and they found that 40% of patients without, who did not get the virus, had no history of vaccinations. So again, it questions the link. The link is very shaky, as I just read you, even from Clinical Infectious Disease Journal. The link is very shaky of, if you get a flu shot, that you will be protected from the flu. So maybe you'll be protected from the flu. Maybe you won't be protected by the flu. There is certainly not good, solid scientific data linking protection from the flu to being safe, you know, getting a vaccination to be safe. But we are going to talk about some of the things you should have in your home, whether your home is full of children or adults or elder people or, you know, those in the golden years. Everyone should have around their house things that will help them ward off the flu naturally. That has a much better safety record, because you're not going to be injecting yourself with mercury, with toxic chemicals, with immunosupport, with interfering kinds of pharmaceutical agents, with dyes, preservatives, all kinds of things that come along with the attenuated virus. So we do have some people that actually typed in some answers. For instance, somebody said this is in 2013. She actually got the flu shot in 2013, and her arm was sore after a week, and then it turned really red, and her entire joint got swollen in her arm, and it lasted several months, and she got the flu anyway. So, you know, that's just something that happens to so many people. You have to see how does it work for you. And I'm sure there are thousands of people who love getting the flu shot, feel tremendously that it does protect them against the flu. And I'll tell you, if you feel that way, you should get one, because I am a great believer and, in fact, have done lots and lots of research, which I've published in several books, on what's called the placebo effect. And the placebo effect has to do with the mind-body connection. The placebo effect is very, very powerful and very, very strong. And I think should not be just called, that's just the placebo effect. I think it should be honored and studied and used, because when we talk about safety, the placebo effect is 100% safe. It just has to do with working on your belief system in terms of supporting your health. So if your belief system is such that you believe that this flu shot is really good for you and it has protected you from the flu and it gives you a great sense of peace, inner peace when you get it, hey, it's for you. I would not in any way, shape, or form ever want to interfere with an individual's right to do anything. I actually was not for Mayor Bloomberg saying you can't have tons of soda, even though soda is one of the worst things for your immune system. It dissolves calcium out of your bones. It has all kinds of toxic chemicals in there, and I don't like it. I don't drink it. But if you want to drink it, you want to take a bath in it, you want to go swimming with it, you want to drink 10 million 16-ounce cups, hey, fine. You should have a legal right to do so. So I both am a very big supporter of personal choice, as well as me being able to choose not to get a flu shot and you being able to choose, yes, you'll get a flu shot. So, you know, go with it if that's something that you really love. But perhaps you'd like to check out the science to make an educated decision. I know many people would, and not necessarily be railroaded into something that they really don't want to do. Well, we're going to take a little break now so you can hear all about the other fabulous shows that are here on Progressive Radio Network. And while we do that, I'd like you to know that you can visit us at naturalnurse.com. You can sign up for a newsletter just by going to the bottom left corner of the page and typing in your email. You'll get a newsletter from me absolutely free with lots of content. And also Facebook, The Natural Nurse, is where you can find us. It's actually facebook.com/naturalnurse, and it goes right to Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. So we'll be right back with more, and we're taking your calls today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. How do you feel about the flu? 888-874-4888, or any other topic you'd like to call in with. We'll open up the phones for that as well. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Welcome back once again right here to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And if you have a personal question you'd like to ask, you can come on board with us by calling 888-874-4888. And I'd like to tell you now what you can do to get your natural medicine chest ready. If you'd like to get a flu shot, please go get one. If you would not like to get a flu shot, well, find out why, okay? So therefore, you have answers for people you talk to, if you'd like, for your family members who go, why don't you get a flu shot? So for your friends, and maybe you may help to move, at least if people are wanting to get flu shots, that it is not mandated that you have to get flu shots. That's one of the biggest issues to me, is the mandating of mandatory flu shots for infants when they're born, for toddlers when they go to preschool, for elders if they're in an elder care facility, for health workers everywhere, when the risk-benefit ratio of this procedure has not been proven, not to me and not to people who really study the literature. So if the risk-benefit ratio looks like it's leaning a little bit more towards the side of risk than benefit, perhaps we should rethink that. Or if we are convinced that it is very helpful, perhaps the pharmaceutical industry can bring down the amount of toxic chemicals that are given along with the flu shot. Any of those things would be helpful, and that comes about by you raising your consciousness and knowledge. So what we're going to do now is tell you a protocol of what you want to have in your natural medicine chest. And this is important. So come back and listen to the show again or tell your friends, because you know that's one of the great things about PRN, Progressive Radio Network, is that we have an archive and you can listen again to any of the shows. So here's what you want to have handy in your house. You want lemons. Organic lemon is the best, but any lemon will do versus no lemon. Fresh lemons. You cut the lemon in half or even in quarters. Squeeze the lemon into a cup, add hot water or even cold water, and drink that. Drink it once a day, every single day, for great support. Better yet is if you add about a quarter of a teaspoon of turmeric powder into with the lemon. And if that becomes too tart or spicy for you, then you can also add in a little sweetener such as organic honey, or just drink it plain. Drink that every morning because that actually helps to stimulate your immune function and is also antimicrobial. If, God forbid, you do come down with some kind of situation like the flu, then you want to do that 6 to 10 times a day. Just keep sipping that, and in that case, hot water would be best. You can also put a tea bag in there. There's some great teas on the market that are already made up, such as Throat Coat is a good one, and there's many of them out there that really support your health. And having herbs in your natural medicine chest, for instance, echinacea. Echinacea has been used for many, many years. And you know, there are studies that show that it's not effective, and there are studies that show that it is effective. When I have read the studies that say it's not effective, I notice they're using something like 1 300-milligram echinacea pill a day. No, of course, any herbalist would completely know that's not effective. You need something high potency. For instance, an alcohol-free echinacea and golden seal combination is what I have with me all the time. And that echinacea and golden seal alcohol-free combination, I take when I feel stressed, when I'm getting on an airplane, which is often because I do lecture in many areas of the country, and I'll just use it now and then for protection. But if I feel like anything's going on where I'm getting a little sore throat or swollen glands, then I start taking it more or less every hour just for 2 or 3 days. Another thing is vitamin C. And the amount of vitamin C that you want is called taking the vitamin C to tolerance. Tolerance is the place where that amount of vitamin C will give you loose bowels. And that's different for everyone. Some people can take like 10,000 units and then they start having that effect where they're getting loose bowels. And then you just back off a little bit less than that and that's the dose. Very interesting that the body uses more vitamin C when you are fighting a cold or flu than just in a normal everyday situation where you're fine. Isn't that fascinating? The body upregulates the amount of vitamin C that it uses when you're getting ill. So this is what you should have in your natural medicine chest. We talked about echinacea and golden seal. And another very important thing is Sambucus. That's S-A-M-B-U-C-U-S. Sambucus has a common name, which you might recognize. It's called Sambucus nigra, which means black elderberry. And it is right from the elderberry tree, which, by the way, if you're listening in the New York or Northeast area, grows all over the place. And elderberry, you can actually collect them when they're fresh and make your own elderberry syrup, or go to your local health food store and ask for Sambucus or black elderberry. There's many varieties available. You may want to choose one that's very concentrated. The one that I use actually has 5,000 milligrams in 1 teaspoon. And also, it's in a glass bottle. Many of the other kinds are in plastic bottles. So I like the one that's in a glass bottle, and it has 5,000 milligrams of very concentrated elderberry on 1 teaspoon. You can actually feel your glands go down after you take this stuff. We also deeply understand what's called the mechanism of action. Those of you who are taking my certification course in botanical medicine and are up to the higher level courses are getting classes in mechanisms of action. That means not only that herbs work, we know that, but how they work. And when we look at the mechanism of action, let's say, of elderberry, what we know is that it inhibits the duplication of viruses. That's why people feel a little ill at night and then in the morning, wow, you know, they're really not feeling too great. Okay, why? Because those viruses that were there duplicate very quickly and then they spread all over the place, causing people to have a full-blown case of the flu. Well, you can interfere with the virus's ability to duplicate by taking elderberry, because elderberry has a specific action. You know, how the virus duplicates itself is that it has little points. It goes around and it has little points. Those points are called hemagglutinin, and they latch onto cells like glue. That's where you get the glutinin stuff. They latch onto the cells, they punch a hole in the cell membrane with these little spikes, and then they inject part of their information from their cell into the cell. They take over the cell's mechanisms, and they tell the cell to make more viruses, which the cell complies and does. Where elderberry comes in is it interferes with the ability of the hemagglutinin to stick to the cell surface. Therefore, it does not actually kill the virus. It's not actually doing anything specific to the immune system, but it is stopping viral duplication. So that's one thing that Sambucus elderberry does. It's why you want to have it around. You don't want to wait and feel ill and then go to the store the next day. You want to start taking it either proactively before you start to feel ill, in small doses now and then. If you're already having something, you got to take a lot of doses every day for a few days to help you get over it and give it to everyone around you so they also don't come down with it. Another thing that you want around besides echinacea, golden seal, vitamin C, and Sambucus, we also talked about oxalococcinum. Oxalococcinum is a homeopathic, not an herb. It is the most amazing thing, as I started mentioning earlier, because when people take it, they feel immediate relief. I mean immediate relief. In fact, within an hour, they forget that they had anything coming on. But what you want to do is, if you do take the oxalococcinum, keep taking those other things like echinacea. Echinacea actually does increase your body's ability to produce white blood cells and increases the ability of the white blood cells to move around and actively gobble up any invading microorganisms. So there you go. That was a whole show today on considering the risk-benefit ratios of getting the flu shot. Again, get it if you like it, but fight for the ability to make the choice. And prepare yourself, whether you want a flu shot or don't want a flu shot, with a natural medicine chest full of what you need to keep yourself, yourself, and your family healthy and flu-free. Please visit us at Facebook, The Natural Nurse, or naturalnurse.com, and we love your feedback. You can join us for our Jamaica Echo Tours for Cures. That's leaving March 15th. Any of our on-ground lectures and our online certification course given by Natural Alternatives. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse at naturalnurse.com, hoping that you stay healthy.